So next week, we're going to start this brand new series called Advent. I'm excited to work through it in kind of a traditional, or at least thematically traditional format. Hopefully that'll be fun. We'll talk more about that. But we want to pause this weekend, because this weekend I want to do something that I think is actually pretty valuable for a community to do, and that is just stop and hear stories. One of the real privileges that myself and Kate and Hannah and the whole rest of the staff, Marla and Lexi and Doris and Carla and Linnea, and anyway, one of the opportunities that we have is to sit across the table and hear story and hear people like yourselves talk pretty candidly and honestly about your own faith experience and why Jesus is relevant for you. And what stands out to me, having kind of trafficked in this stream now for 20 years of my adult life, is that one of the dangers of community like this is that if we don't stop and say otherwise, we communicate to one another that faith looks like this, and it has a very specific, very kind of certain way that it goes, and if it doesn't, you're doing it wrong. And yet, one of the beauties, I think, of what we're going to try to do this morning, from my mind, is to stop and go, no, it looks different for all of us. And that's not to say there isn't truth, and it's not to say that there aren't certain things that matter, but it is to say that because of background and genetics and family of origin and just our own temperament and personality and Myers-Briggs and Enneagram and the work experiences we've had and the harm and the danger that we've been through, all those different things, we all connect with Jesus differently. And at times for different reasons. And so what we're going to do this morning, we did this in the first gathering, and we're going to do it again here, but with three different people, is we're going to pull three people to the stage. So you're going to check under your seat, and if there's a little tag there, I'm just kidding. Don't panic. My hope is that we get to do this with dozens and dozens and hundreds of you, because the danger to me of doing this is that we would somehow create a who's who's club, and that's not at all the goal. The goal is to take a deep breath and just allow people other than myself, professional talking heads, as it were, to just speak to this idea of why do you follow Jesus, and how has that changed over the years, and what matters about that to you. And so this morning we're gonna hear from Tyler and Daryl and Peggy. So you guys would come on up here, that would be fantastic, and bring your camp chairs. So even to kind of create somewhat of there's its own personality study in what you bring, because Daryl, I'm pretty sure, brought a brand new chair. Because he's an engineer and it has to be clean, right? And Tyler, he brought what is in other contexts considered a couch. So what we have to do is kind of semicircle here. So someone goes here, and then I had lots of ear bending last time that the person where you're going to end up, Daryl, was not angled enough. So yep, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Wow, Daryl, I think, is everybody happy with
good
his angle?
Job.
Okay, there we go.
Try not to knock over Teresa's drums.
I just hope you're comfortable.
It's a lazy boy. Comfort's number one priority for
That's
me.
Awesome. So this is Daryl, Tyler, Peggy. And we're just going to start, Daryl, I think we'll just start with you, just to kind of get that conversation rolling. Who is that? Is that me? I think it's Peggy. Are you sitting on your pack? You might just want to. Yeah. Okay. Are you not on? Oh yeah, you should turn yourself on, in your fancy brand new green chair.
This was because we forgot our chairs, so we bought it this summer on the way out camping. So.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, I don't mean to make so much fun of you. But I kind of do. I think it's Daryl. You might have to take your pack out of your pocket. Sorry. Will you start, Daryl, and just spend a few minutes your faith background growing up and just what your faith experience has been condensed into a handful of minutes.
Okay. I'm one of those people, I guess, with that it's maybe hard to define my faith beginning, because I grew up in a Christian home and in the Lutheran church. And I just had a lot of, I guess, a shout out to Sunday school teachers. I can remember just as a little child, just being, just feeling special, just, learning about the Lord. I probably couldn't put a name or a face to those Sunday school teachers, but just knowing that if you are, teaching young kids, I mean, it's valuable, it's huge. And then growing up, in junior high, I was in Butte. I grew up in the Lutheran church there, and just having a great pastors. We went through that confirmation that the Lutherans do, you know, confirming in your faith, and just really then kind of starting to read my Bible and reading the words in red, as they say, you know, like my Bible had all the Jesus words in red. So you start reading that and just really starting to feel maybe a little bit for who Jesus was. And, you know, so I've kind of grown up knowing Jesus, and but I've also always had this feeling that I was God's favorite, you know. And it's true. I mean, I've never really vocalized it until recently, but it's like I always knew that, okay, King David was God's man after God's own heart, and he was God's favorite. But it's like, yeah, but I know I'm right there, you know. And it wasn't until recently that that we went to a Christian retreat this last year or so that Jerry and I helped work on. And the leader there at the weekend kept telling everybody that weekend, you're God's favorite, you're God's favorite, you're God's favorite. You know, and it's true, and that's the point was, is we all are God's favorite. You know, God loves us all equally, and we all should have that feeling that you're God's favorite, you know. So so that's just a good lesson, I guess, in life, you know, knowing that you're God's favorite. And so you should all feel that way, but me and God will secretly know that I'm God's favorite. So yeah.
Leave it to Daryl to bring some encouragement for the masses.
Yeah, so anyway, so my faith journey, I've always kind of grew up in the church, but then just, you know, life events, I guess, throughout the years kind of shaped and molded me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can return, maybe we'll return to some of those. Or, yeah, thank you. Tyler?
Pretty similar to Daryl. Grew up in the church, parents very active, Sunday school. Sounds very similar, but I guess for me, the way I think about my foundation is I began with almost a literal understanding of the text and who Jesus was. And that served me well when I was young, younger. And then kind of in my early 20s, that some of those fundamental understandings for me kind of fell apart, and I distanced myself from Jesus. And that always really bothered me. I became like a Sunday morning Christian. My mom was always very active in the church, and I remember having conversations with her, and I just knew something was missing, and it bothered me that I was distancing myself. And then probably 3 or 4 years ago, I'm not sure when the moment was, but I began to look at Jesus in the text as more of a narrative, I guess, and I inserted myself into that narrative. And since then, it's been very exciting, and it's really reinvigorated me. And I'm kind of still in the very beginning of this new chapter of how I define myself as a Christian, but it's been very exciting. So,
thanks.
It's breathed a lot of new life into the text, and I actually wake up in the morning and I'm excited to read the Bible, which is, yeah.
So you transitioned, your words were from a literal to a narrative.
Yeah, because the distance, I think, was like, how is this applicable to me in the 21st century? And I it's complicated. I don't know how to really explain it effectively, but there was a moment where I began making connections, and I think it's when I inserted myself into the narrative. So.
Wow. Thanks. That's helpful. There's some strings I'd like to return to and pull on there. Go ahead, Peggy.
Well, I just want to tailgate on what you've said about inserting yourself, because for me that happened in my late 30s after I'd been raised in the church, and it was really sweet, but I was profoundly anxious, and I didn't know why, and that colored my entire life. And so I tried to be in control and be perfect, which, of course, makes life really hard. And I became bulimic in high school, and the pressures just, I wandered away. I was a good girl gone bad, and spent 13 years basically in Jackson Hole being a hippie, working in restaurants. all of the things you mothers are afraid your kids will do. I survived. And the Lord brought me to the end of myself at about 33 and took me back to Tucson and put me in a wonderful Lutheran church. Pastor Lorenz was exactly the shepherd I needed. And there was a Wednesday night Bible study, and we gathered around, and we were just reading the Bible, talking about it. And I was the only one who hadn't been born a Lutheran, and I had all these questions. And the first night that my sister took me, that we showed up, we were beginning the book of Isaiah. And I think it was really the Lord's kindness, his mercy and grace, because I was like an English lit person, loved words. And the language in Isaiah is amazing. And the promises are amazing. I will do a new thing, rivers in the desert. You know, it just struck me. But after Isaiah, we went into the Gospel of John. This was like a year later. And it started to dawn on me that I was never going to find a recipe, because I was looking for the check boxes in the recipe that would allow me to be sure I was taking care of everything and I was a good person. And I remember blurting out in the Bible study, "There's no recipe. He wants a relationship." And I was very discouraged because I'd blown up all of my relationships my entire life. I couldn't do them. The vulnerability required, frightened me because I knew how wrecked I was inside. But in the grace of my journey, God kept putting people in my life that I was willing to walk in the light with. I was willing, like Pastor Lorenz. I went and told him, this was a few years later, and I'd already showed up 3 times in his office to tell him about the man I found and was going to marry, because being alone was my terrible crisis. And each time he would just listen, but as I talked to him, because of the Holy Spirit working, I realized, this is insane. You can't do this. So the fourth time, I wasn't going to marry this guy, but I was going to follow him to Eureka, California, and live with him, because I was just so tired of trying to be a Christian, and I didn't know how to have fun as a Christian, and you know, I got deceived and overturned. And so I went to Pastor Lorenz, and he listened to me. I think I was secretly hoping he would talk me out of it, because it was going to cause a lot of trouble. And he looked at me and he said, "Peggy, God is in Eureka." And that's all he said. And I went off to Eureka, and sure enough, God was there, and I came to my senses and came home and started over.
Wow.
But that's sort of my pattern. A lot of going off the rails, God finding me there and gently leading me back, putting me into relationships with Christians that knew him well and were willing to be transparent.
Okay, thank you. So Daryl, part of, I've been thinking about this since we connected even last week on this, was part of what I think is so, I would think must be so encouraging about your story is you're one of 6 now that connected with Jesus at a young age, and I don't want to say, well, I don't know, per your view, or the way you describe it, you connected with Jesus and just you've been God's favorite ever since, right?
Mm, right.
Which I think has got to be encouraging, because I know I've talked to people that sometimes they're like, "I'm not even sure if I'm legitimate because I didn't rebel when I was a teenager," and all those different things. But that being said, are there ways that you connect with God differently now than, say, 20 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And how is your connection with God different now than?
I think now I have more of a, I guess, a vision of heaven or the afterlife. You know, the Bible talks a lot about rewards in heaven, and I think through some of the things you go through, you start realizing that it's not just about this earth, but there's more to it. Wow. And I think that started, Jerry and I got married really young. I think I was 12, but.
12. And, wait a minute.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you know, we lost our first son due to complications, childbirth. Hmm. And still makes me emotional. But, you know, those things, you know, kind of shape you, you know. I mean, when we were barely 22 years old, I think, when that happened. And, you know, then you go through the next, you process in that, and then go through the next 12 years. We had four more great kids at that time. And, you know, but when you start, you know, processing that, and it's probably a lifelong process, but then you go through those things and then just other hard life lessons, you know. I mean, I had a friend commit suicide. We've had, you know, just when you lose, you know, I've lost cousins to cancer, and my dad, and Jerry's parents. And, I think that's maybe what maybe you dwell on, hey, it's not just about now, you know. I mean, I'll see my son in heaven later on in life, you know, the next life. And I think it's helping me to kind of put things in perspective a little bit.
Put what in perspective?
Just, I guess, life. I mean, as I get to, you know, like, you know, the middle age thing or whatever, when you want to kind of go off and do your own selfish thing. And, you know, I think I've learned that, you know, it's, I guess I don't want to blow up my life. I don't want to blow up, you know, my relationship, my family. And, you know, I want to end life well, you know, but I think part of that is then just, you know, having that focus of it's not just about now and it's not just about me. And it's, you know, I could keep talking. I got verses and whatnot that I could talk about. But
sure.
So you, everything in your story that you've gone through, you feel like it's reinforced and given you a better understanding of what heaven and the afterlife is going to hold for us. I mean, it's never caused you to question or waver, and it's always just kind of reinforced your foundation, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've always had a lot of faith, I guess, and so I guess it's kind of give me something to hold on to. And when I guess I think of, I think I was telling you earlier, I like to gravitate to the Proverbs and in the book of James, you know, because it's kind of those life instructions, you know. And I think maybe to bring it around is like in James where it says, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourself, but do what it says. And it says, it's, you know, if you just look at the word, and it's kind of like the analogy is, you know, it's like you look at your face in the mirror, and then when you walk away, you forget what you look like. It's like, well, that's just the same way. If you read the word, but don't act on it, then it's just like you're forgetting it, you know. And so what God says is, hey, the word brings blessing and life, and if you really try to do what it says, that's where your peace is going to come. And so it kind of ties to what you talked about last week in the why the pain, you know, all those unquashed desires and seep out. And I guess what I do a lot of praying constantly to God, you know, and I'll verbalize those desires and, you know, just say, hey, I know, even if you know things are wrong, you know, I mean, I'm constantly just praying, say, hey, I have this desire, I want to do this, I want to do that, you know. And and I think what happens, though, is, but then the challenge is, I mean, I think it's okay to pray that, but then it's like when you say, but then you're reading the word and it says, here's the way you should think, and it's like, okay, I got to read it or am I going to do it, you know. And so then I think that starts helping the battle in your mind. So I think that's, I think it's just maybe that having that sense of it's not just about my flesh and here now, there's something bigger does kind of help help me to go through life, I guess.
Tyler, why was it worth your while to come back?
I don't know if I ever left. I always believed in Jesus, and there was always the voice in the back of my head, but the thing that there was distance there, and I
slightly got derailed a few times, which could have turned into a much bigger derailment. But the thing that always bothered me was just I knew there was something more to Jesus, but I didn't know how it applied to me. So I don't think I ever left and had to come back. I think the coolest thing is, like what you're saying, don't only talk the talk, but walk the walk, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, live out the text. And that's what's really been the most exciting thing to me.
So are you saying, because you said that you just were a Sunday Christian, is that connected then to the, like, you didn't see the purpose and how that translates?
Yeah, or, it's pretty, you can see the purpose, but, I don't know exactly how to phrase it, but just, like, what you know, it really ties into what Daryl was just talking about, where you can listen to the message, and then, yeah, you know, that makes sense, but then actually, like, when you leave the church and you move into the real world, or the church is, but when you move into your life, and then you're faced with split-second decisions or your own morals, like just knowing where to draw from Jesus in the text, that, you know, looking back on probably a difficult circumstance that I was in where I could handle them better and knowing, like, man, if I had just, like, had a little bit more clarity on where I stood in Jesus' narrative, I think I could handle that better. You know, hindsight, that's, I guess, where I'm talking about with that distance.
Sure. Yeah. Peggy, I think connected to that, you, I think the way you ended was something like you kept wandering. Mm. So what didn't work for you outside of God? Like, why didn't that work? What did God offer that you weren't finding?
It didn't work because I always felt alone.
Huh.
And life was hard, even though I was making these choices that were supposed to be really fun. It was so fear-driven underneath it. And because I was looking to be accepted. I was looking to be the beloved. And I didn't know that Jesus was the only one who would call me beloved. And so for me, I kept coming back because the things I ran after were false. And for some reason, from the very beginning, I mean, Jesus loves me, this I know, as a little child in the choir. I believed that, you know, that truth stayed in my heart, even though it got buried under so many lies that I tried out. and so his love would continually draw me back. But I continually built boxes, you know, to keep Jesus and me in, because I wanted to be safe. And he kept blowing the walls down and saying, no, look, you know, by bringing new challenges, marriage ministry. Marriage was a huge learning experience. Because Pete and I, our opinions of each other was, you're the most godly person I've ever met. I mean, your heart is after God. So that's where Pete and I were when we met. And we thought loving Jesus and loving each other would make marriage easy.
Well, it's not easy for you?
No! We were both so wounded from our life in the wilderness. And I had no ability to trust him, and we couldn't communicate. I mean, which are the basic issues, you know, for everybody.
Fair enough.
But, you know, we spent 6 years working in a marriage ministry, you know, and ironing. It was a Bible study and profoundly practical. I mean, we were, you know, the main characters. There was a lot of transparency and prayer in the group, small groups. But at the end of each one of those sessions, it's like, oh, finally made it. Oh, it must be me.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on there.
I'll quit moving. We finally made it, but then we'd go through it again, and there'd be all this junk coming up. Hmm. So for me, it's been yes, truth, but yes, love. And the love of Jesus, as he's healed my heart and conquered more territory within it, has given me the courage to accept the truth, you know, the obedience, the boundaries. Hmm. And it was something you said that I never thought of the reason you said, the reason God hates sin so much is that it hurts us. Hmm. And that was just like, oh, you know, because I had, coming from my hippie life, I just saw them as limitations and rules.
Just arbitrary. And
well, there was sense in them, but I didn't get the peace that he loved me so much he didn't want me hurting myself by doing that.
Okay.
That was what I hadn't understood until you clarified it. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah. Tyler, can we talk a little bit about science and how that plays in? Because you guys are both scientists.
Engineers.
Yeah. Well,
pretty big.
Well,
compared to me, yeah. You are like
Einstein
when it comes to science. So. but seriously, I mean, I guess I'm especially interested because of the way you talked, kind of without the microphone on, about the way science impacted things for you. So, how do you, as someone who traffics in science, how do you still get yourself to open the Bible in the morning? And how does that play into that narrative piece?
Yeah, you could take that. We could talk 5 hours. Well, ooh, not me, but people who are smarter than me. It goes back to that narrative transition I've been going through, I think, where I guess, like, when I first started going to college and engineering school, and you're just, I mean, more information than you can imagine is just loaded on you in 4 years. And beginning to question, with my literal understanding of the text, like, you know, how are some of these things, I guess you can see some, like, fissures growing, you know, in my mind, where it's like, well, I don't really see the applicability of this. And I think that's where the danger first started. But what I came to realize recently is that the Bible was never meant to be a scientific text at all. And so I think once I started coming into that realization, for me, it helped close some of those fissures. Hmm. So I don't approach Jesus in the text as science. I kind of keep that division separate between the two. But we talked about it before, where you can see God's work in the science, but you don't have to. For me, I don't let the Bible explain science.
Okay.
And our understanding of science is, as technology improves, we come to new realizations almost every day. I feel like there's some new realization in science. So science is a moving target, where I don't think Christianity is.
Hmm. Yeah.
So.
Wow. I just think that part of what I love about, and I wish I could take credit, but I think it just is God's grace, the diversity of this particular panel of you guys' stories are all so unique, and I think that's helping capture what is, for me, the agenda here, is that there's such a fine line between this is the way I relate to God and connect with him best, and therefore, if you don't, it's not valid. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your honesty there. So, Daryl, how, like, where do you your sense of being God's favorite, which we laugh at, but it's like, man, if we could all get to that place, that we would all be the better for it. How are you within the daily, within the weekly? Where do you connect with God best? What does that look like for you? What are those disciplines that for you are helpful?
Well, I really enjoy the morning devotional time, you know, study times, but yet to be honest, I'm not always that great at it. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, it's my preference to get up early and have that quiet time, and I like to study, you know, the word. And, but there's also times I get up early and ride my bike or something, you know. So I'm not always that great at it. But and then just during the day, I just like to look for. I do have a dialogue with God, and I love to see prayers answered. I guess I have that kind of faith where I like to pray about things and then kind of see the answer. And you don't always see the answer, but it's but it's just something that, you know, I guess I just, it keeps you mindful, I guess, you know. And even at times, I mean, Jerry and I don't always pray enough together, and there's times where we go through life and we're like, why aren't we praying about this? You know, let's pray about it, you know. But I have a funny story, I think, for work. Part of what I do, you know, I work for a global engineering firm, and one of my jobs is, or my main job is to do business development and bring, talk to clients, win work, bring work in the door, feed the beast, as I call it. But and so there was another engineer who wanted to do what I do. He wasn't happy with his role. He says, I want to get into business development, do what you do, you know. So I started mentoring him, and of course I have, thanks to you in large part with Jim Collins, I have the recipe that I use, you know. So I started to teach him, like, well, here's my recipe. Here's the things I do day in and day out. I try to do, you know, to be successful in bringing work in the door. But I stopped and I said, but, you know, what's not on this piece of paper is I want you to know that I pray about it. I said, I really think that, you know, God answers prayers, and I ask God to bless our business. And that's, I think, the real key, you know. And he looked at me and he says, I knew it. He said, I knew you weren't that good and there was something else, you know. Yeah. And wow. So it was real humbling, but it was kind of confirming, too. Like, he knew there was something else there that was, you know. So anyway, I like to look for answered prayer.
We joke because you thank God for pollution all the time because that's kind of your deal, right?
Your hazardous waste is my bread and butter.
How about for you, Tyler? What does that look like in the daily, the weekly? How do you connect best with God?
The chair time is really what I value the most, and I'm glad you talk about that quite a bit. I'm fairly introverted, and so just having that, if I can get myself to get up and then just start the day with a little bit of reading and then just some silence, that brings me closer to Jesus than anything else I can imagine.
Wow.
Such a great way, too, I mean, just to get your thoughts in order and then move from there.
How about you, Peggy? What are your routines?
I've used the Jesus Calling devotional for probably a decade now, and wow. I love it because it calls me to peace and to his presence. Instead of stirring me up to go do more. And then the other piece, though, is I meet with three different small groups of women, twos and threes, three times a week. One is we just pray, and one we're reading through the Bible, and the other one is a specific healing Bible study. And truly the time with those women is the most precious time.
Wow.
Yeah, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. And God's, and we're all changing because of meeting with him.
See, we're not anti-small groups.
No. I live for small groups.
The bigger the group,
but really
the better.
Small. Really small.
Yeah. That's funny. Thank you, guys. Sadly, we're out of time. We're going to sing our way out of here, but thanks for...
Thank you.
Letting us see into your souls a little bit, and thanks for the hard work of faith, and we're all the better for it. Let me pray. God, thanks for Daryl, thanks for Peggy, thanks for Tyler and their respective families, and Lord, undoubtedly they would say that they don't stand alone, that it's with their family that they're able to connect with you and be the person that they are. Thanks, God, for your faithfulness, at times, despite ourselves. We love you. Amen.
If you would like to engage further with Narrate Church, you can find contact information online, www.narratechurch.org. We would love to hear from you.